Sportscast, August 12th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on the sportscast.net for the latest and greatest. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app in the iOS App Store. The world is still recovering of what the Big Ten and the Pac-12 did yesterday. Big Ten started it. Pac-12 followed it. And, of course, someone that could really rant, I mean, all about this all hour long, Ty Turner. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
What's up, man?
Ty, what a day. What a day yesterday. I was kind of surprised. I think Justin and I last night were talking about it, and it kind of came out of the blue when the Big Ten, when they announced they were canceling the season.
You thought so? Because the rumors started to come out a couple days prior that that's the way they were leaning, and I guess those rumors are pretty accurate. So I wasn't really surprised. I kind of thought they might delay it a little bit because of the pushback. The Big Ten gave a lot of pushback. The Pac-12 didn't. I mean, the bad thing about that is, do they care? And the good thing is they're unified. Or unified in at least what they believe it to be. So the Big Ten obviously did not seem unified. Obviously, the head coaches, guys like Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, Jay Frank, wanting to play, and that was not the case when it came to what the commissioner and the president decide. So, it's interesting. There's a couple different ways to look at it. One is, will actually a fall season happen? And if a fall season does happen, and there's limited COVID outbreaks, and it goes, there's, you know, SEC, ACC, Big 12 finish their season, then what will be the perception of the Big Ten and the Pac-12? Now, do I think that they could – I'm going to get into that later. I was going to talk about three seasons. But anyway, to go back to my point, I think at that point, actually – I can add to this point. I think if it shows that COVID didn't have any outbreaks, then the Big Ten and Pac-12 actually would be forced pretty much in order to save any hope of their program moving forward to play a spring season. In my opinion, if the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 go through, play their schedule, limited outbreaks, and basically things go pretty good, then the Pac-12 and the Big Ten would actually be forced to play this spring. They pretty much would have no choice due to the fact that they canceled. Players could possibly be in line to lose a year. The whole eligibility thing, the roster management, just the fact that they didn't wait long enough and they came to such a rash decision. They pretty much, I believe, would be forced to play, which I don't think is ideal. But if it was just those two conferences, I did think of some different scenarios that actually spring season starting in like January and ending. I've seen some ridiculous takes like May and stuff. That can't happen. You would not be able to play next fall. But if it was something like 5 or 6 game seasons and then the Big 10 champion plays the Pac-12 champion, and then I guess they have two national champions, the fall national champion, the spring national champion. So this year you have co-national champions. It is possibly feasible. But I think literally they'd be forced to, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, if there was minimal hiccups with the season that the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 decided to go through on. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. COVID is contagious enough. There's enough skepticism of long-term effects. I have my doubts that the season's going to go through. The Big 12 has already thought and said and rumored to be on the fence. I think if there was as much as like a couple incidences that caused some hysteria, I think the Big 12 would punt the season to the spring. And then at that point, it leaves it on the ACC and SEC, and I wonder if they would too. And then I think spring season is a lot less feasible. I just think there's too many teams. I think at that point, you can, like, basically for a spring season to happen, it has to be so few games. Almost, I think you'd have to have like 12-minute quarters. You'd have to make games shorter. You'd have to have less games because you couldn't play in the fall then. It's too violent a sport. I played college football. I know. Don't let some journalist that never played a day of college football in his life tell you. I played college football. You cannot play 20-plus games. There'd be so many injuries, and it would be so unsafe for student-athletes. You could not use the argument that one second you care about the health of student-athletes, and then you put them out there to play 20 games in a calendar year. You couldn't. But if you're able to have a small season, and then you'd have to actually have a smaller fall. So let's say you had something like a 5-game regular season and a playoff, and maybe like one or two teams make it. And so the most you play 7, so 5 to 7 games. And then in the fall, you do a conference-only schedule, so 10 games. Then you're around that portion where you'll play in the, most teams would play 15 games, and then the very most someone would play is like 18 or 19 games. And that is stretching it, but it is possible. And I think the Big Ten and the Pac-12 would have no choice but to do that if the season goes through as planned for the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12.
If the spring season does happen, and I do agree what you were saying, I think if they do play spring ball, they'll have to start in January. I don't think they could have a full 10-game season. I think it'll be like 5 games. And maybe end in March or maybe in February, or just go for 2 months, because you got the combine and you got like the NFL. Well, combine is typically February. Excuse me. The NFL draft is until like May. So they're going to have to compromise somewhere. And what will NFL scouts think?
So say that again. Sorry, ran over a piece of
it. It's okay. I mean, if they do have a spring season, they'll have to cut the season short, as you were saying.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not about the NFL as much as it is, because I think the guys who are high-end NFL draft picks, I don't think they're going to play in the spring season. So, like, for instance, Penei Sewell, Justin Fields, Shawn Wade, maybe like a Jevon Holland, Amon Ross, St. Brown. These are some of the better players that I'm mentioning from the Pac-12. I do not believe that they will play in the spring season. I think they're going to declare, and I just think that's what's going to happen.
Which players from the Big Ten or Pac-12, are at the edge where they need that one season to prove to NFL scouts? Can you name a few?
Oh, I mean, there's a few. Yeah, there's several. I mean, guys that are like would not get drafted.
No, players that they will get drafted, but they want to get at a higher. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter if they get first or sixth round. I guess.
Well, it does. Well, it does matter because you're getting paid a lot more.
Yeah,
you get
so
a lot better starting salary if you're a first round pick than if you're a sixth round. Like, it's not even close. It does. I mean, there's so many. I mean, that list is endless. You would need to know some of the guys. But basically, if a guy is a bona fide first-round pick, the Justin Fields, the Penei Sewells, guys like Sean Wade, guys like that, they're going to leave. They're going to go to the NFL. They're not going to play in the spring. So there's that. I do think the NFL would push back too. That's another thing. I think the NFL would push back the draft. So let's say there was, I'm just going to go hypothetical here, because I still think things are in flux. So to say absolute is just impossible at this point. But hypothetical, ACC, SEC, and Big 12 play in the fall. And then Big 10 and Pac-12 play in the spring.
Realistically, what month will they start in the spring, realistically?
Oh, when do you – okay, if it is not started, if the first game is after February 1st, I don't think spring season is feasible. Like, you see some of these journalists that don't have any idea how football works that are coming up with these 10-game seasons till May, and then you'll play. Move it just back a month, and then
that's
you can
rough.
Start in end of September. They don't know what they're talking about. Like, you could not –
It's like coming like after war. Yeah, that's tense.
It's so on Stuart Mandel, the guy's probably the closest thing to playing a sport of football was Madden. And then there's several of them that they have no idea or concept of how it works, and they're acting like it's a possibility. It's so dumb.
How many months do you think a player needs after a season? Like 2-3 months to get things?
How do you cover college football and have that limited scope of how it works? What do you say?
Sorry. How many months do you think a player needs to rehab after a season?
Well, hypothetically, I'm going to drop the scenario. You start camp January. So let's say, hypothetically, SEC, ACC, Big 12 go as planned. There's literally minimal to no outbreaks. So then it's showed that COVID and the student athletes being able to play for a season was not inhibited. Then I would say then Pac-12 pretty much, because they canceled competition through 2020. So Pac-12, for instance, start camp in the first week of January. Then the first game is the end of January. Then let's just say they play 5 divisional games. And then they have, at the beginning of March, the conference championship. And then the winner of the conference championship plays the winner of the Big Ten. And the Big Ten, I think, would have to play one more game because there's 14 teams in the Big Ten, if I'm not mistaken, and there is 12 in the Big Pac-12. So I believe the Big Ten would have to play one more game. But let's say the middle of March is the end of the season. So let's say, hypothetically,
that's fair
Oregon
enough.
Wins the Pac-12, Ohio State wins the Big Ten. They play for the quote-unquote Big Ten Pac-12 National Championship in the middle of March. I think at that point you would do a season just like this year that was planned on the on the revised scheduling. And I think you would start fall camp at the end of August. And so that would give you 5 months. So you'd have 5 months. But once again, I believe that all the top players for any, like I said, Justin Fields, Nate Sewell, Micah Parsons, Pat Freiermuth, remember you, Jevon Holland, guys like that, they all would not play in the spring. So then that would be my plan. And I would move it to, instead of 15-minute quarters, I'd move it to 12.
You would cut the game shorter.
Yeah, so therefore you'd be basically, if you do 12 times 5 equals 48 minutes. If you do what, it basically would cut one extra game every 5 games. So you'd be taking off basically an extra game worth of wear on the body.
So that sounds like the XFL rules, it sounds like.
Yeah, basically you play 7 games. Let's say Oregon plays 7 games, but then
really play 10.
Relate it to a normal season if you really play 5.5 games.
Now, hypothetically.
So then when you turn around and do another season that plays like 13, 14 games, you still would be on. Like, when I start seeing a number of 20 plus games in a calendar year, it's unrealistic. It's unrealistic. The very most is something under 20. You can't go over that.
Hypothetically, what if there was no spring football at all? Of course, fall, there's no football, no spring. What ramifications would that be?
Well, I think if ACC, SEC, and Big 12 end up having to cancel, I do not think there'll be any football in the spring. I think they'll just have to up the season to 2021. Obviously, everyone gets an extra year of eligibility. So it's going to be kind of problematic for coaches, and I think they'd have to actually bump, because right now there's 85 scholarship limits. I think they'd have to bump it up to 100. Unfortunately, they'd have to bump it up, and that might be for the foreseeable future, which would make it a lot more – I think it'll end up ending programs. I think if that ends up being the case and 2020 is completely wiped out with football, I believe – a lot of smaller tier, I think FBS programs will be done. I think FCS programs will be done. And I think smaller tier FBS, non-Power 5, a lot of them will slow it down. Because I think what will have to happen is they'll have to, like, increase the scholarship limit due to the fact that you have guys who are going to be coming in next year, and then you'll have to carry over these extra guys that is due to COVID. And I think it'll end up ending a lot of programs, which would be very unfortunate.
So how much effect?
So you're actually asking my hope right now. I hope right now that the fall season happens for the other three. I hope there is limited outbreaks. Therefore, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are absolutely forced to do a spring ball. And then it kind of will just – and then next year will probably have to be a conference-only schedule again due to the fact that, you know, some teams canceled, some teams didn't. It's just the way it is. And then, but still, you had college football for the 2020-2021 calendar year for students, and also 21-22. And I think that would be the least amount of loss.
You're the recruitment guy for the sportscast. How much of an effect will that be for recruitment?
Well, man, there's a couple different ways to look at it. It could be really bad for the Big Ten and the Pac-12. The Pac-12 doesn't need any more bad, because the Pac-12 is not exactly rocking it up when it comes to recruiting. But if the season goes on as planned and it shows that the conference is punted, I mean, it's easy for the South to say, hey, we care about football. We want to get you the next level. And I just think that such a – it gives them an even more advantage. Now, if the Pac, SEC, and the Big 12 and end up running into issues and people get sick, then it actually could backfire on them, and it could show that they didn't care enough about people's health and well-being. They put them at risk, and then you could start seeing people staying out west, and you could see people going to Big 10 because they think that, hey, they're more advanced. Or I guess I hate to use this word, but more progressive, and they cared about the student athletes more than the Southern schools. So it could go a couple different ways. And then the other one is if there's no hiccup, but then the Big Ten, Pac-12 get the whole spring to show off their stuff, and then the ACC and the SEC get the whole fall to show off theirs. So there's a few different ways it could go. I'm not sure right now. I really am not. It could go, like I said, it could backfire the Big Ten and Pac-12. It could backfire the SEC, ACC, and Big 12. Or it could kind of be a wash. I don't know.
Yeah, it could. A whole lot of different scenarios could definitely look at. Yeah. I would have thought they should have, what the Big Ten should have done is they should have postponed the start off date to September 26th. Yeah. And reevaluate throughout upcoming weeks. How hard was that? I mean, that was not hard to do.
Yeah, because the Pac-12 was just waiting for the Big Ten.
Yeah, no, they're waiting for any conference to back away.
Yeah, the Pac-12 was all in for Camplin. I think the Big Ten is going to be the one, like. Once again, if a spring season happens, it's going to be the Big Ten. I think the Pac-12 is really just punt the year. And if you even look at the comments by the commissioner and stuff, they don't seem really all in the spring. But guess what? If the Big Ten says, hey, we're having spring, I think the Pac-12, unless they just want to completely punt their sports, which is fine. Maybe they want to protest. Maybe that's their thing. Maybe it's a conference protest. But anyway, but if they want to have any semblance of football and sports, they would actually pretty much have no choice but to do spring in the Big Ten. And I think the Big Ten might, especially if it shows without any hiccups, I think the Big Ten will do some form of spring football.
Some form, yeah. It could be a small season.
My opinion.
Yeah. SEC Greg Sankey released a statement yesterday saying that he felt very comfortable of how things are going right now. They're going to reevaluate why did the Big Ten and the Pac-12 canceled. Do you think SEC will hold the ground? Hold the line.
You know what? I kind of want them to deep down, and I kind of do, but I don't know. I don't know. Because if it starts going south, literally, not figuratively, but if it's, you know, there starts being COVID cases, and they're just bad publicity. Because, like I said, it could really backfire if they just, well, who cares? Then the whole narrative that all they do is care about money and care about football will really get. I don't know. If I was a wagering person right now, I would say everyone ends up canceling.
Interesting.
But I don't know. And then again, as I said, I think if everyone cancels, I do not think there's a spring season. I think a spring season only occurs if some of them go through the season with minimal hiccups. So what do you think?
I think SEC is going to hold the line. They're going to continue. I think they're going to have no fans. They're going to have to put strict protocols on these players. Live in pods, get tested every week or so, and maybe cut down the staff who goes on the field if they want this to continue.
Okay, so you think SEC holds the line no matter what happens, no COVID testing, nothing. You think they hold the line?
I've been saying it for the past month. They're going to do it. I know the SEC. I feel their heartbeat. I think they're going to stick with it. I'm going to go out on a limb. Big 12 will do the same. ACC, I'm not 100% sure.
You think the Big 12 will do the same? I don't know. I don't agree with that. Because actually the Big 12 was on the fence. Like, they actually considered
They were bold to release a schedule this morning, and that convinced me more.
Well, I mean, they have to have a schedule if they're going to continue. I don't understand that. I mean, well, like, if you're going to say you're going to continue at least momentarily, you have to have a schedule.
Yeah, but they stick to their guns.
I just don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I think that
because you're saying Big 12 could cancel, I mean, with tonight, like the next 4 weeks.
I do think the SEC will be more dogmatic. But I don't think the Big 12 will be as. I think if stuff, like if any hiccups occur in the Big 12, I think they'll pull through.
How about ACC? Do you think they'll pull through, or do you think they could cancel?
I think the ACC is stronger than the Big 12.
Okay.
But the Big 12 is the one I think any hiccups, they'll move.
Because Big 12 is a little bit lenient.
Right now, I either want 2 in the fall and 3 in the spring, 3 in the fall and 2 in the spring.
We should split football conferences.
I want the whole season canceled. Do you know what I'm saying? So I either want, and I would rather watch football on a personal narrative. So I hope that it, because I believe if the fall goes through, those guys, no matter the risk that it is on student athletes, will have to do some kind of modified spring football. They'll have no choice. I really believe that. Because if they punt, they'll have players with eligibility. It will not be uniform. So you'll have guys that lose eligibility, and you have normal rosters in, like, the SEC, ACC, and Big 12, and then you have these weird, like, I mean, their programs will be destroyed. Not financially, roster management, all that, the Big 10 and the Pac-12. They'll be destroyed. So they can't, if it goes through, they have no choice. And I'm surprised people aren't saying that more. They will have no choice but to play in the spring. But if ACC, SEC, and Big 12 all of a sudden decide to postpone, I believe everyone will just cancel for the 2020-21 calendar year. And then what will happen, as I previously stated, is you're going to have probably, like, roster limits expanded, and I think a lot of programs will go under, and that will be unfortunate. So for the hope of everyone being able to play football moving forward and to be the least financial ramifications, I hope everyone plays in 2020 and 2021 cycle, no matter how weird and modified the season is. And then you'll probably have two national champions, Alabama and Ohio State.
Now, that was my next one. Do you think now that, like, things are a little bit fractured. There's no natties for this year or the springtime.
So say that again. What'd you say?
Now that, you know, there's two conferences potentially going to play in the spring, do you think the national championship is still on for this fall?
I think they'll be, like I said, I think they'll be split, because I think if the season finishes, then they'll have to do something in the spring, and then therefore I think there'll be a split. So you know, it says college football national champion every year. It says 98, 99, so 2000, whoever it is. Well, back in the 90s, in the 80s, the 70s, they had split national champions. Washington and Miami shared the national championship in 91. Michigan, Nebraska shared it in 97. Actually, in the 2004 or 3, I believe it was USC and LSU shared. So I believe that they just haven't shared that. I think, let's say hypothetically, three conferences play. If you're going to go out on a limb, I'll go out on a limb, and I hope I'm right. I think the Big 12 cancels. I think the SEC and the ACC goes through. I think the SEC and ACC have a national champion, and then I think the Big 12, Pac-12, and the Big 10 have a national champion. This is just me going. It's just jumping off the cuff. That's what I think.
Split trophy. Interesting. Never heard that argument.
Oregon and Clemson share the national title, is my prediction.
Interesting. Not bad. I think it's fair. It sounds fair to me.
The reason why I actually think Ohio State would get really hurt is because I don't think any of their best players will play.
Very possible.
So I when you're losing Justin Fields and Sean Wade and Wyatt Davis and Josh Myers, I just think you're losing even though they have tons of talent. I think they'll lose so many good players that actually I don't think they'd be as good in the spring.
Well, anyways, we gotta get going here. The Big 12 released their schedule this morning. As we spoke about before, important dates that they announced. October 10th is the Red River Showdown between Oklahoma and Texas. It's a football rivalry. Kansas State will open its season on September 12th against Arkansas State. The Big 12 Championship is scheduled on December 12th at Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, December 19th. And Big 12 teams have committed to 3 COVID tests per week. And after positives, athletes are tested for EKG, troponin, blood test, echocardiogram, and cardiac MRI. So they're testing 3 times a week at the Big 12. That's pretty good. Smart. Any thoughts about that?
Good. Okay. So they still don't have any non-conference games are still just open.
It's open, yeah. Each team will have 1 non-conference game. Nothing scheduled yet. Probably in a few weeks. So a lot of teams, probably like Liberty, or no, not Liberty, I'm sorry, out there are fighting for that game, because each game could help that school for like $2 million or so. I don't know. It just really depends.
How about Nebraska?
Yes, that was like my next headline. Big 12 official says Nebraska will be welcomed back to the conference with open arms. How about that possibility, moving conferences?
I just automatically, when I thought of that extra game, I was like, that just seems weird that they didn't name an opponent, and yet Nebraska's not really happy. And I'm like,
Do you think that Nebraska should move to the Big 12?
Yes. Why? Because for one, I grew up a Nebraska fan, and Nebraska was in the Big 8 and the Big 12. They didn't move till the Big 10 10 years ago. They did it just for financial reasons. They didn't think they're getting a fair shaking comparison to Oklahoma or Texas, but
like what Miami did to the ACC, they moved there.
The rivalry of Oklahoma and Nebraska is one of the longest rivalries in college football. They live in Big 12 country, kind of. I mean, they're near Kansas and
ish.
You got Kansas State, and then you got obviously Oklahoma and all those. So, yeah, I not only think that it could happen, I actually think it might happen. Yeah, I do.
Other teams rumored.
Especially when I saw that.
Yeah.
Especially when I saw the one open game, I was like, huh, career. Go ahead.
Other teams that are rumored to join the Big 12 are Ohio State, BYU, and UCF.
Ohio State's not joining the Big 12.
That's just, you know, rumors, speculation. Yeah. If you had to name one team from the Pac-12 to join the Big 12, who would it be?
Well, Colorado used to be in the Big 12.
Okay. That's a good one.
So Colorado, I think they match the Big 12 more than the Pac-12 anyway. So, yeah, Colorado, that's about it.
Yeah. Top quarterbacks in the Big 12, Sam Ellinger, Brewer, Skylar Thompson, and Brock Purdy. Would you agree with that?
Say that again?
The top four quarterbacks in the Big 12, Ellinger from Texas, Brewer from Baylor, Skylar Thompson from Kansas State, and Brock Purdy from Iowa State.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Spencer Rattler is extremely talented. He just hasn't played yet. He's going to play for Oklahoma. Oklahoma's had the last 3 years two Heisman Trophy winners and the Heisman runner-up. They've also had back-to-back number one draft picks. I got a feeling Spencer Rattler will be the best.
Sounds good to me.
But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, Sam Ellinger's a good quarterback. He's a senior leader. I think he has a pretty talented team around him. So I like to probably say Ellinger, Rattler, and Purdy.
Any recruiting news before we end the show?
I would – not really. I mean, all that's been going on right now is deciding if the season's going to happen or not.
Yeah.
I am interested to see what happens moving forward. I really am. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm just so interested to see if SEC, ACC, and Big 12 can pull it off. And the thing is, I'm Oregon Duck fan, Pac-12 guy. When I wasn't a Pac-12 guy, I was a Big Ten, Nebraska guy. So I'm a Pac-12, Big Ten guy more so than the other conferences. But the thing is, my conferences aren't playing. So I have to figure out a new team to cheer for this year. Who's it going to be?
It's not going to be Alabama. I'm thinking someone from the Big 12, maybe Nebraska if they join. Well, you're a Nebraska fan anyway.
Oh, yeah, okay. It'll for sure be Nebraska. Let's say Nebraska's not right now in the Big 12, and as of right now, they're in the Big 10. So eliminate Nebraska, obviously eliminate Oregon. Who do you think I should root for in the fall?
I'm going to say Texas or Oklahoma.
No.
Liberty's playing. Because ACT teams.
No. Legitimately. I have a team in mind.
Okay, you have a team in mind. I have three conferences to choose from. Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I knew it.
You know what? Notre Dame, I would root for. That is true. That's not who the team I had in mind is, but yeah.
They're pretty neutral team to root for, to be honest. Like, no one hates them or loves them, you know?
Oh, people hate Notre Dame. But no, it's actually Texas A&M.
That's a good team. Very good team. I'd love to see you root for them.
I actually had some. I had some ties. I had a bunch of teammates from military school go there, and so I actually talked to them about admissions. I considered walking on there, ended up getting a scholarship to Liberty. So I have some ties to A&M. They're also, you know, I never going to jump on the bandwagon of a top team.
Never.
So a military school. I went to military school. I have some ties to it. So I will be cheering for Texas A&M if they can finish the season in some capacity. Yeah.
Ty Turner, other news, Deion Sanders joins Barstool. What are your thoughts?
Well, the thing about Barstool is the guy's a strong advocate of free speech. He's very much against cancel culture. I mean, he kind of did an on-the-job interview with Donald Trump recently.
Probably one of the best interviews politically.
What'd you say?
Probably one of the best political interviews I've seen in recent time.
I mean, it's a little crass. I wouldn't say as a Christian that I approve of some of the stuff on there, to be honest with you. But, you know, in a culture that is really trying to stifle different perspectives, it's kind of refreshing. And Dion, honestly, he likes to say his opinion. He's pretty outspoken. And he's actually a Christian, and he's more conservative than most in that industry. So,
I did not know that
about Dion. Did not know.
Yeah, he's very he's a very outspoken Christian. Yeah.
Good. Good. Prime time.
Oh,
one of the best.
Much, yeah. Oh, you didn't know that about him?
I didn't know about that. Yeah, I just. I mean,
he's very outspoken about his faith, and he's more. He's like, some of them aren't like straight up conservative. You know how there's some people like Clay Travis is conservative. Everyone with a brain knows that.
That's what it looks like.
Everyone with a brain knows that Dan Wolf. Everyone with a brain knows that Dan Wolkin and Daryl Zobel are leading hard liberals. But then there's other people that they say things that are more conservative leaning, with a more possible Christian worldview, and Dion would fall in that realm, kind of along the lines of like maybe a Jason Whitlock or a
like Dion, it's pretty much not political or anything.
He's not political, but he is pretty conservative.
Okay.
Like recently, he said that he was really outspoken against players opting out and pissed a lot of people off. He was very much against players opting out in the NFL and college ranks. So, it's just stuff like that. He's just Christian, and he's more. And the thing is, people are finding their niche because ESPN has become so political. Are you kidding me?
It's not SportsCenter. It's WokeCenter.
I even watched. Yeah, all it is very social justice propaganda, and even like Stephen A. Smith is on there. And he was just like mad at Trump for saying go back and play football. And I'm like, why? What's wrong with Trump saying go play football?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so weird. Things have become so toxic and so politicized. And that's the thing. Let's be honest. When we look at who has canceled their seasons or postponed their seasons. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Well, where are those states are either blue or purple?
Correct.
Like California, Oregon, Washington, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Those states are blue or purple.
They're geographically, politically aligned there.
Whereas, is there one blue or purple state in the ACC, SEC? Well, Massachusetts, so I just thought of one. So other than Massachusetts, is there one other blue or purple state in the ACC, Big 12, and SEC footprint?
Not at all.
No, I'm asking a question. I could be wrong.
I got to look at – I think Virginia is the only state in the ACC that I see that's more blue than purple.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
You're right. So Virginia's blue and – Massachusetts is blue. So you're right. So the ACC, that you brought up a point, ACC has some liberal states in their footprint. So, yeah, that could possibly say that they – that could push – because it's just going to become political, man.
It's geographically motivated. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, and the sports journalists are political. You could tell the ones who are conservative. You could tell the ones who are liberal, and then you can tell there is some that are really just wanting to be objective, and then they both piss them off. like Mike Farrell. Mike Farrell, I think, is pretty like down the middle. He really gets pissed off if people get political. He's really outspoken about it.
That's good.
He's like, what the flip is this so? Yeah, which is fine. You don't have to be a conservative. You can be someone like, I just want to deal with sports. I don't want to deal with anything else because Wolken and. Even Clay Travis might get on your nerves, or Stuart Mandel. You know, just when you're
anyways,
I'm a conservative, but
as we say at the Sportscast, we don't shove left wing politics up your throat. So stick with us, and we try to stray away from all that nonsense you see in mainstream sports media. Hopefully things improve, but you never know. But anyways, Tyler, what's the best way to reach you to have people? Try to send you some Texas A&M souvenirs or swag.
At the Turner Cast.
And, of course, you can reach us at the SportsCast1 on Twitter or at thesportscast.net. Tomorrow we have Ryan Krista, or we might have a soccer podcast, a lot going on in soccer with, like, the Champions League. So we'll definitely keep you guys up to date. And, of course, We'll keep you up to date what's going to happen with the SEC because things could change in a minute, just like the Big Ten. Tyler Turner, always a pleasure. Great show.
I did. See you.